This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. You and I have not sat down and recorded since our late February release. Since then, I have had numerous conversations with Operation Recall and other people. You talked to Russell when I wasn't available, but we have not done this together in a while. Our schedules have not really been matching up lately.
Yeah, it's been insane. We were kind of just chatting a few months ago. I was like, I haven't even opened this computer since I recorded with Russell. I haven't opened our drive since I uploaded my conversation with Russell. So yeah, I was almost forgot how to do it.
It's nice to see you on camera again, and especially because we are getting closer and closer to Joe Fest. Both of us have been really trying to pump brakes on. I don't know how successfully, but we've been trying to pump brakes on our outgoing as we prep for Joe Fest. And then in the midst of this, you finally jumped on board with something that you and I've talked about a lot. You've been wanting to do for a while, but every time Dan puts out a new book, it just gets that much more expensive to begin.
Yeah, so I am extremely happy to say that by the end of next month, I will be completely current with the Dan Klingensmith Jr. Creating G.I. Joe books, volume 1 through 11.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a massive feat. Every time a new book comes out, it gets that much more expensive to get the whole run. We've talked about this before, getting one or two, two or three per Kickstarter, but he had a hell of a deal going on this time.
I've said this before, and for once, my own shortcomings paid off.
Okay.
I came super close, no exaggeration, probably 10 times to going to his website and ordering 1 through 10. And every single time I was like kind of feeling like, okay, I can pull the trigger. It's a chunk of money. I've got it. Life would throw me a curveball. Not all bad. Some positive. Actually, a lot of positive, but I had kind of been like tiptoeing and dancing and waiting. And then like every time I was like, okay, well, like I'm just going to save up a bunch of money for Joe Fest. I'm going to pull out what I would spend on Dan K's books and I'm going to order his books. Then the Kickstarter goes live and I go and I look at the tiers and I like kind of scroll all the way down and I hit the bottom and it was $100 saving.
Can't beat that.
I said, screw it. Because with my luck, if I don't jump in for the $100 off, his next Kickstarter, if there is a next Kickstarter, there is more volumes coming, but that might be my only chance to get that discount. So I did it and I don't regret it. I am hyped. We got the email today that it's going to print and that he expects it to be shrink wrapped and ready to ship by the end of next week, the week after. That's huge.
Dan has been doing this for a while. He hits the Kickstarter after everything's done. So you're funding the print. You're not funding the work. He does do these sales a few times a year, holidays, things like that. And then with his Kickstarters, I'm a big proponent of just going and buying one. And in a month, buy two. And then, you know, on your next paycheck, buy that third. But I know with the way your money flows and with the way most of us are a bit squirrel when it comes to our collecting, sometimes it's hard to just remember to go and grab one. And so grabbing that bulk deal, whether it be one of his holiday sales or one of his Kickstarter sales, is such a great thing. I'm caught up. So when I hit the Kickstarter, I just did my standard order of two for the new book. And I'm very excited to get these in hand.
I've been in a weird swirl with collecting and kind of like what excites me, what doesn't excite me, kind of, you know, whatever. Everybody's got fatigue with pre-orders and mass ships at once. But every time, whether it's you or whether it's him teasing something, every time I see a page of this like unproduced starting idea, like whatever you want to call it, that's the stuff that has kind of been getting me more excited as of late. A long, long time ago, in one of our early episodes, I had purchased a random custom G.I. Joe off eBay, which I do time to time, and it was what we came to find out, a like pre-production inspired Sludge Viper.
Yes, I remember this.
And I described it to you, and you flipped open a book. It must have coincided with something, but you're like, I'm pretty sure that's a Sludge Viper. And I was like, I don't know, man. It's black and silver. And I did the annoying thing, and I said, hey, Nicole, I need you to scroll back through your eBay and find this figure. And she found it. And she sent me screenshots, which I have saved into my favorites folder on my phone, which I have never forgotten since then, because that was kind of like my first I need these books moment. Anytime that this stuff surfaces, I'm just like, there's no way to find these images online. They don't exist on the internet. And for good reason. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of money to get your hands on this stuff. I just can't wait. I have 11 books coming to paw through, and then I can really start to deep dive into building some figures and really kind of exploring what they had in mind, what things changed, and kind of balancing out, you know, what I want to do with a figure versus what it was originally intended and where it landed.
And now you can get into O-ring.
I like the concepts, not the build. But I do want to say, on the email we got today, where he announced that he approved the proof, it's going to print, you're getting shrink-wrapped. In his very last line, he hinted that book 12 will be a different, there's going to be a different way to purchase it.
Hmm, I missed that.
We know that he is officially licensed at this point, so I don't know. Are we going to see a pre-order on Hasbro Pulse? I don't know. I'm 100%, I cannot stress this enough. I've never met the gentleman personally. This is all speculation. This is all me reassuring myself that I made the right move when I did, because if he shifts to a different purchase format, there might not be as good of a bundle deal as I just got. And I'm so happy that I just, and I want to be super clear. I was literally pinching pennies and really manipulating things within my own finances to make this work. Like I think I called you and I was like, I should not be doing this, but I have to do it.
We've known each other for 3 years.
I think you're forgetting the COVID fallout. We're like, it's closer to
four-ish, five?
Four and a half, almost five. Yeah. Yeah. We're forgetting that 2 year dropout of where life stopped moving.
I guess this podcast has been going on for 3 years. So we've known each other for longer than that. Yes. In that time frame, you have talked about buying these a lot. So I'm glad you did it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I do hope you read them. I would love to talk more about it as you go through them. And we do need to have Dan on at some point. I mean, just so that we can sort of fan over his books.
I think when book 12 gets announced, I think that's our time to strike. I mean, I'll have 1 through 11 in hand. I'm going to be dancing and jumping for joy when I only have to purchase a single book.
I'll buy that book twice, so I get it. But that's not all you've picked up lately. You also jumped back into the comics, because when we talked to Josh Egebeen and Roger back in, I don't remember, After Action Report 2? 1? I'm not sure. You had mentioned that you had picked up Order of Battle, all 15 of the trades, plus all 4 of the special missions, and you were going to pick up Yearbook, you'd be done, and Josh mentioned the Transformers versus G.I. Joe, where they kill Bumblebee and they bring back Goldbug. I don't know if it was Dan's books or something else got you inspired, but we were talking a bunch about comics lately.
I have an absurd amount of modern 4-inch G.I. Joe and various 4-inch figures. All my stuff is still in boxes, so it's a weird thing. I get excited about stuff that comes in the mail. Don't really have a place to put it quite yet. So it kind of, everything's in storage. So it's hard to stay like legitimately excited about certain aspects of the hobby. I can confidently say there are elements of the hobby that I have considered backing out of, but I have never considered 100% bowing out, which is huge because I've been doing this a long time and it's hard to manage life and money and everything else that goes into this and traveling and everything else. Yes, we talked about 15. I finally hunted down 15 and I was really excited. I was kind of doing a little victory lap and you said yearbook. And then you kind of gave me the, well, you don't actually need G.I. Joe versus Transformers, whatever. So about a year ago, I did purchase yearbook and probably sent a picture to you and celebrated whatever. I put it on the shelf. And you and I were talking a few days ago, or last week, excuse me. And I was like, yeah, I thought I ordered yearbook, but I don't see it on my shelf. And then you found one on eBay and sent it to me. And then you were like, well, hey, just check before you order it. And I was like, well, I got to order it through Nicole anyway, so everything's fine. All of my trades are in my living room. And I move some stuff that's in the way. I see 1 through 15. I see 4 special missions. And then there's a little stack of random stuff sitting on top of them. And I grabbed the stack and I moved it to the side. And as I'm swinging back with my eyes, I notice that my Tiger Force Rakondo's hat is missing. So I immediately start tearing through boxes and everything that's kind of in the way. And I spend probably a good hour like moving my couch, like all over the place. I'm looking through boxes, but we had recently moved a bunch of stuff. So like that hat is somewhere in this house. And I look over again at the G.I. Joe thing and there's a trade facing the wrong way. And for whatever reason, I don't pick it up and look at it. So I buy yearbook again. It comes in. I'm looking at it and I'm like, this looks really familiar. I send you a picture. I'm like, all right, yeah. I go to put it away. I pick up that trade. I turn it around. There's yearbook.
Now you have one to trade.
I will be putting it directly on eBay for exactly what I paid for it. And that led me to a conversation with you today where you sent me an eBay listing for the G.I. Joe versus Transformers trade, which I will be hopefully purchasing Friday. And then I will truly have all of the trade collections from the beginning to the end of the original Marvel era.
It's right there at the height of both of their powers. And it was the first time that Hasbro and Marvel combined the universes, which has happened many times between late in the Marvel G.I. Joe run, a number of times in DDP / Image and IDW. There's a very long and storied history with G.I. Joe and Transformers sharing a universe sometimes and never really being impacted by each other. So I don't know that it's a necessary purchase, but it certainly is, from a collector standpoint, a good purchase.
That's exactly where I'm at, is it's not a necessity. I want to be able to say,
you got it.
In that original chunk, you know, of however many years, I have everything. Because I have both the Order of Battle trade and I have the floppies. So I'm pretty sure I have everything. Now it leads me to the bigger conundrum of, can I even get physical trades for 155 through 300?
All the way to 300 is not out yet, but there are physical trades.
For the majority.
Right.
That will be something that I will hopefully try to slowly trickle in. It is what it is. I can't do any more bulk purchases for a little while. We have Joe Fest, and the major thing I've been dropping at is I actually started building my G.I. Joe room.
You have been working on that for a while, so you've been sharing pictures and stories of the progressing work with myself and the Anything Joe's guys for a couple months now, and it's part of why we haven't been able to sit down and record. You've been 60 to 70 hours a week working, plus how many hours a week on your basement, plus traveling, plus...
So that's what's funny, is I have ramped up my work. I've done some insane overtime, insane side jobs. At this point, I have actually not physically done any work in my own basement. So my brother was laid off like he is every year. He's an outdoor tradesman. I live in Western New York. There comes a point in time where it is physically hell outside.
Dangerous.
So I was able to hire him. We got really far. I wish I would have had one more week with him. I have all of the framing is done. All of the electrical is done. All of the insulation is done. The drywall is ready to be hung and then finished. And then, you know, prime, trim, paint, floors, finished.
Who are you going to get to do your drywall?
This jackass that I know. So I was hoping that I would have him one more week. He would have, you know, even a few days, he would have had the drywall hung while I was working. But he got called back to work. That's a real job. I was giving him as much as I could afford.
Sure.
Not the same as his real job. So it's, you know, like I said, and to be completely honest, you know, anybody who's hearing this that has done any sort of home repair in the past couple of years knows that the price of stuff is cuckoo crazy. It's been one hell of a project and I'm like halfway done. It actually worked because I kind of needed a financial break when he got called back. And you know, my house is built in the 50s. So whenever we had to move something, we had to do a little bit of plumbing stuff to prep for the drywall. You start touching stuff that's been installed since the 50s. And every project is like $400 to $500 just to do something small. I probably had an extra $15,000 to $2,000 of just semi-unexpected hiccups. I knew that nothing goes smooth when you start doing anything like this. It's the same with like if you've got an older car. If you've got one problem, you better believe you probably got two that go with it.
And this is, I mean, and you're a professional. You know these things are going to happen. You're prepared for these things.
Yes. It's expected, but I didn't have any major catastrophes. I had a couple of really weird things, and I had truly one of the most insane coincidences I've ever experienced in my life. So I ran a bunch of, you know, well, my brother, not me, ran a bunch of new wiring. You know, everything that has been installed for my room is completely new breakers, new wires, new boxes, everything. The only thing that tied new to old in terms of electricity was I added three LED lights down the walkway of my basement. So when you hit the switch at the top of the stairs, it illuminates an entire walkway down to my washer and dryer.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. And I'm not by any means an electrical expert. I'm fairly stupid on the topic. I know just the basics, like don't touch the hot ones. But I do know that LED lights are designed, they pull extremely insignificant amount of power. Like that's why light bulbs are getting switched to LED. That's why everything in modern lighting is shifting to this because it's super efficient. You can piggyback a bunch of lights off of, you know, whatever. This is the sales pitch. So around the last chunk of electrical stuff, a company had left a thing on my door saying that they were going to be working on some, in my neighborhood, they're trying to switch some of the power lines and phone lines to underground. And basically they said, you know, you might have some outages, like, sorry, we're doing our best. And we also had some incredible windy days, like true wind advisory, like 60 mile an hour wind days.
Holy crap, 60?
I believe so. One day, I know for a fact, it was like a wind warning day. Some lights started to flicker in my house around this time. And it was, you know, my brother had called me and was like, hey, I don't know what's going on. I've tested everything. Everything seems good. He tested some of the older stuff in my house. He's like, I don't know, man. Everything looks square. I'm like, so I don't really think anything of it. Because again, I knew they were doing stuff outside. And again, when you start rustling things, like stuff gets weird. 2 weeks later, I lose half the power in my house. And I was extremely confident that it had nothing to do with my brother because I wouldn't have hired him to work on my house if I had any ounce of second guess. So he came up and made a couple emergency trips. We're testing all sorts of stuff. And stuff is just going bananas in my house. So I had probably one of the most stressful nights of my life. I got woken up at midnight to the chime on my stove going off and on fast enough to be an alarm clock and the plugs and stuff going insane in my bedroom.
We are an 80s podcast. So in the midst of all of this, did it ever occur to you that your house was built on a Native American burial ground?
I thought poltergeist. I thought burial ground. I was literally going through all of this, you know.
So you didn't join Carol Ann at the TV. Got it.
No, no. So the day that I lost power, my brother rushes over after work because I was going to just call in like a professional electrician. We're pulling outlets out all over my house. We're testing stuff that he hasn't touched. We're going crazy. We're going super in-depth. We're over at the panel box. He pulled the cover off and one of my main phase wires. So your electricity comes into your meter is a big giant cable and it's split into three, positive, negative, dead, or positive, negative, ground, excuse me. Two of those will test live. One is dead. I only had one live wire.
Okay.
I call my gas electric company. They send a guy out. He's extremely unhelpful as being polite. And basically, without testing anything, is like, yeah, you're probably going to have to hire an electrician to move your outside service, blah, blah, blah. So I'm researching this. And it's like somewhere, it's like $2,000 to $4,000, depending on where they have to move it, how many extra feet they have to run. And I'm just like...
Would this have occurred if you hadn't been building the Joe Room? Or is this something that would have occurred just because of the age?
So I'm going to finish this tale off with saying that it has nothing to do with the GI Joe Room at all.
See, I'm jumping to the end.
Yes. So he leaves and tells me that he has to call in the high voltage guys. So I call back my company. I just need to know, are they coming today? And luckily the person on the phone was like, they'll be there within an hour and a half. They show up. I meet them at the curb. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. I'll just tell you everything that I know. And then I'll show you where everything is and I'll be out of your hair. They walk over to my house with a ladder. They walk right up. They stand on the roof to my breezeway. The guy like scratches a couple things, puts a tester on and goes, you got bad connect. Your connectors went bad. In under 10 minutes, everything is fixed free of charge. It was insane. But on a positive note, it had nothing to do with the showroom. And again, I want to stress that like everything that has been built in my basement is done
straight to code,
by the books, better than anything else that was done in my house in the 50s.
Well, not just that, but if your house was built in the 50s, other people have done repairs, add-ons, updates, upgrades, workarounds.
Stuff. I don't know what I would call it. Yeah. I don't know what I would call it upgrades, but I'm happy to say that the Joe Room is making huge progress. It's ready for drywall.
That's awesome. I'm jealous.
Once the drywall's up, I've got 4 days of finishing and sanding, and it'll be done. And then it'll be a paint party, trim party. The next expensive purchase is the flooring. It's pretty significant because my room is 41 feet long by 8 foot and some change wide.
Nice.
I haven't even told you this yet. I have this nook built under my stairs that is within an inch perfect for my desk and my little recording hood. So I'm going to be tucked in to this corner and I fully insulated my basement.
So in this corner, did you make sure that you're going to be dark and underlit like normal so that you continue to look like a supervillain while we record?
No, because I actually installed a 2-foot LED light with its own switch that will be right behind me. So I'll look like an angel.
We had been talking with Greg from Anything Joe's about a Joe sorting and organizing party at his house. Now it sounds like we got to figure out how to get him to travel further than his mailbox so that we can now do a organizing, sorting, and displaying party at your house once this room is done.
Yeah, that's going to be... Once the room is finished, I am going to have to sit down with everybody I know that has done anything like this and really, really figure out what the hell I'm going to do for shelving because I'm not going to buy bookshelves. They eat up too much space. They don't use space well for what we collect and what we do. And I would like to try and save one corner. The far end of my room, I would like it to be 3 built-in dioramas, sci-fi, desert, Greenland. Again, that might be like, you know, I might be shooting for the moon here, but what else am I going to do?
Hey, it's your room. You can shoot for whatever you want. It's been a lot of fun seeing the pictures and things like this and hearing these stories. I'm excited for the new recording nook and hopefully we can get some light on your face, not just the back of your head. You know, we are 6-7 weeks from Joe Fest and we've just been kind of in this very busy bubble. So it seems like every year as we lead up to Joe Fest, we're a little bit different of a podcast, and I'm all right with that. It's a lot of fun. But I can tell you that, you know, A and I are going to be there. We are already making plans with Todd on what time we're leaving, what we're doing. I have a ton of Creo behind me that I'm sorting and making sure is complete. That'll be on the table at Destro's Toy Den. Oh my God, the shit we're bringing with Toy Den is insane. You're bringing your wife, you're bringing Nicole. It's going to be a good year.
I'm excited. I'm driving down Wednesday, meeting up with everybody Thursday, midday, whenever you guys roll in. Nicole is flying in Saturday afternoon, early evening, so we can drive back together on Monday. I think this will probably be my last year of driving. It's 13 hours without traffic, without stops. You know, so just driving, it's 26 hours round trip. I just can't. I don't think I can do it again. It's just too far.
You're becoming old.
Yeah, there's also that.
But you got to think, though, man, you're giving up your ability to grab an ROCC right as the show opens and sweat your way through the crowd.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. If I make a giant purchase, all of this stuff I'm saying now, this will probably be my lightest budget for Joe Fest, and I'm fine with it. I don't care. I'm excited to hang out. I know there's going to be product, but I'm more excited just for a break and to see my friends, you know. And it's,
have you been working on a focus list or a hit list or anything?
Completely clueless.
Okay, so that's normally how I walk in, right? You normally are the one walking in with like, all right, I got to hit these booths. I got to get these items. And I'm the one walking in going, oh, look at the pretty stuff. So welcome, for one. And two, I'm not saying anything about what I will or won't do money-wise, because I always say I'm coming in light. And then John Russell goes, hey, I'm selling some South American stuff. And I come sprinting down a hallway. So
I will have plenty of pocket money, and I'm in a weird spot where I'm probably not going to have my collection completely unpacked before GeoFest, because I probably won't have the room finished by then. I can actually guarantee you it won't be finished. So, I mean, there's a few club figures I know that I like, quote unquote, want / need. If they show up, they show up. I'm kind of like, I am going to try to sort some stuff to bring and sell in the swap meet, but like, I'm excited for, I know Fresh Monkey Fiction generally has, you know, Eagle Force generally has something. There's the custom class.
Fresh Monkey Fiction is going to have a couple exclusives at Joe Fest this year, so I want to make it sure I get over there. I have not signed up for the custom class, but I know you have.
As far as I can tell, there's a decent amount of seats left. People, please buy it. The figure's awesome. I was intending on doing the class before the figure got shown.
Which figure is it?
So he's doing an amazing homage to the original Westworld.
Oh.
Which was like late 70s. If you haven't seen it, and this is to you, to anybody, it is more sci-fi than Western. It inspired the show Westworld. It is like late 70s sci-fi magic. It is awesome. It is weird. It is eerie. And he's doing an homage figure to the main, one of the main characters from that movie. I'm going to try to buy two. It is one hell of a figure. And it is 1,000% the only shot you're ever going to have of that, this particular character. I'm 100% in on that.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. I need to sit down and talk to A about that. Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been The Order of Battle.